New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. Hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny said she loved those mango gummy bears, but I thought they were kind of chewy when I was eating them during Thanksgiving, watching football all day and losing bets. I can't stand the Detroit Lions in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake up should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a town, and my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's kicking? It's your boy, Uncle Futrelli, back on the bench, and I'm with Carver High this evening. All right, so couple things. I was out, obviously, for Thanksgiving. And it is what it is. Just so we're clear on a couple of things. I pretty much do the same thing every year. People have to catch up to the fact that my MO is simple. I take off in the fall and in the winter. I don't like, New York and the weather, the freezing cold, snow, blow, ice, chunk, wind, slippery, the whole deal. I don't like that. So I typically take off in the fall and winter. You know what I mean? I take off like, I'll take off like Halloween. I'll take off Thanksgiving. I'll take off Christmas. I'll take off New Year's. And then I'll take off a week or so in January. Or Carver High knows this is true. I used to take off a week after the Super Bowl. I would do the Super Bowl in Vegas. And then I go on a vacation after that. Is that about right, Carver High?
Yes. Usually the first or second week in February after the Super Bowl.
Right. So people think that I'm constantly off or something. No, I get off, but I don't take off a lot. Carver High, do they ever say anything or complain when I'm working every single day of the year, like in the summers and spring and all the rest?
We went basically from March with the start of a pandemic all the way to November. And you didn't take off one day during that stretch.
Not one day. And then I started January 29th. I did not take a day off until November 2nd. So people are like, wow, the guy's never at work. No, actually, I'm always at work. And it's just that I never take off. And then when I take off, it's never pleasing to people when I'm not on, which is ridiculous because Carver High and Mavi do a great job hosting the show. And then on TV, we have great people doing it. So it's not that big of a deal. It's like a week. Like, get over it. Have a sandwich. Have a beer. Smoke a fatty. Do something. Get a girlfriend. Get a side piece. Get a side hustle. Whatever you got to do. Don't worry about me, all right? So just so we're clear, I'm going to be off literally, I think, Carver High, right? Like December 18th till like January 2nd.
I believe it is something in that ballpark, yes.
But then what do I do? I'll go on a tear, although I do have off a week in January because they owe me the last week of January, but that's it for the whole year, right? So my year ends right, that week.
Which is the bye week before the Super Bowl, yes.
That's right. So I will, the bye week of the Super Bowl, I'll be off, and then I'll be on. And when will I'll literally be on for what? Like about 6-7 months straight without a day off? Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page here. So I'm sure you did a great job when I was out. I always know that you guys do a great job when I'm out. So I don't even sweat it. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, coast to coast, top to bottom, east to west. We are everywhere. I just wanted to say, you heard me today, maybe on Coast to Coast, talk about the coup, the overthrow, the takeover. Really, those three phrases are applicable to anything we've done on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio since I've joined the company. From day one, it's been a coup, a takeover, and it's been, frankly, pretty easy. I just wanted to say that. We've overthrown governments. We've, with the coup, the takeover, we've been very bloodthirsty and evil and underhanded, and it was fun doing it. So everyone that we've upset and all the enemies we've made, I just wanted to say how enjoyable it is to have so many enemies. I love it. I'd rather have you hate me than dislike me. Anyway, it's great having all the radio affiliates on all of our different avenues of success join us this evening for Pharrell and the Bench. All right, can I say one other thing here? It's very important. So I wasn't on the air when the announcement was made about us going on Sirius, right? So people have to understand on the terrestrial side, which I've done, you know, for the last 35 years, I've done radio and TV, right? But I've actually, I spent 8 years at the Howard Stern channels doing my show on Howard 101. And I've actually, I've enjoyed that gig more than really anything I've ever done in my career. Like, I loved everything I've done, you know, I guess, MTV, all the rest, Battle Dome on Columbia TriStar, Pharrell and the Bench on Westwood One and CBS and blah, 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 and all these gigs that I've done, Miami, San Francisco, LA, whatever. But none was as cool as working for Howard Stern. That was the best. That was just absolutely the best. And it was uncensored, and I literally could have done anything. I could have committed murder on the air and got away with it, I think. I actually think Carver High looked into it legally, because he's a lawyer and is on weekends, and he looked into it and said I would be found not guilty of murder based on the fact that there were no rules on the planet with no oxygen. I'll come back and finish the story.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
guy, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. So I'm telling you the story of what happened. So I was there for whatever, 8 years, and I just had the greatest time. I mean, it was, I got away with murder. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And it was it really was the dirtiest, filthiest, most raunchy, despicable, inhumane, awful, just atrocity, most fantastic show ever. It was just so awesome because there were absolutely no rules. And I mean, none at all. And there was nothing. They never said a word to me. And the whole time I was there, they just never said a word to me. They're just like, do your thing, be you. I was like, this is a grave error in management and decision making. And so I did exactly that. I did just the craziest show you've ever heard. And it really was. I mean, it was ahead of its time. And, you know, I've heard all these guys, you know, I'm just being honest. There's a million great talents that do radio and everything. And there's a lot of real edgy talent and edgy hosts and real whatever, controversial or, you know, over the top, whatever you want to call them, shock jocks or whatever, whatever you want to call them, right? And all I know is, is that no one, they all think that they did something, you know, different or unique. And I'm sure they did. And then there's that show, the Pharrell show on Howard 101, which was really, it set the standard. It was the bar. And so there is no one that ever did anything like that in terms of edgy or raunchy or anything else. It really was. And then everybody else came along afterwards and started cussing and doing all these dirty things and thinking that they were like breaking new ground. And I was the earthquake. Okay. So everything, I was a 7.5 earthquake on that air, and everyone knew it. Howard knew it. They all knew it. And it was chaos. I should have been in jail. I should have been, it was something I can't even describe. I have trouble even describing it, how crazy it was. The things we did, like some of the things I did with like porn stars in that studio, I just should have been in handcuffs. And it was all really bad and awesome. And so it was the best time of my life, right? And then one thing led to another, and I ended up leaving to go back to CBS because the writing was on the wall for me that they were making changes. They were going to change it, and they were going to make it more, I think, about Howard, which is I have no problem with that. I think that's what it should have been. And that's where they were headed. And sure enough, I was like, I hate to say it, right. That's exactly what they did. They brought in this chick and she changed the whole thing. And they got rid of all the 1 hour shows. They got rid of everything. They changed the whole thing upside down 100%. And so I knew I could smell it coming. I knew something was brewing. And so I felt that there was no better time to run. Iron Maiden, run to the hills, run far away. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I went to CBS and I did the show for Ellen Avenge for CBS Sports Radio for another 8 years, whatever it was, with Carver High and Mafia. And I had no problem with that. It is what it is. I had fun. We had a great show. We did really well. We had huge audience, huge sponsors. Everything about it was good for them. And it was good for us for a while. And then it was not good for me. And then I quit. So I signed with Sports Grid, and I'm glad I did. I don't regret doing that at all. I've enjoyed it. I like it. I have fun. I enjoy the people I work with. I like doing the show, and I like doing Coast to Coast. I like Pharrell and events. I got no problem with anything. I never had a problem. And Carver High knows this is true. I never had a problem with anybody at CBS, did I? Tell me one person that I had a problem with.
Nobody.
There you go. Okay, so the story goes like this, is that when I was on there for 8 years, they never aired me once on satellite. So they have a channel on satellite, and then at nighttime, Carver High knows it's true, they use it for play-by-play. So after 6 p.m., it's gone. They don't use it for CBS Sports Radio. It becomes a play-by-play channel. So they'll do 50 games a night, hypothetically, and they do home and road for every broadcast, and they use the bandwidth for that purpose, not for talk shows or talk networks or anything else. They use all those channels for sports, play-by-play, NBA, NHL, college basketball, et cetera, right? So they got all these games going on, and they use the channel for that. So I was never on. So for like 8 years, now 9 years, I was never on once in New York where I live. You know, I live and work in New York City, and I'm not on the air here. And then I'm sitting here and I'm doing the show here in New York City on a national network in New York City. And I'm sitting in the same studio as the Fan in New York, and they're not, you know, using me for anything. And it's just, and I'm not on the air. Like, is there a person on the face of the earth that wouldn't bother? Carver Hyde, tell me, like, did it not bother you that we were never on ever in New York? And I'm sitting here paying taxes and paying through the nose to live here and to drive to work, and I'm not on here? Is there anything worse than that?
Brutal.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I have bigger cojones than you, because I thought it sucked. And so I couldn't stand it. And then to finally hear the news the other day, because I knew it was happening, I just, you know, didn't know when. That they had cut the deal to go on Sirius and to have a channel on Sirius 204 permanently, and that we're taking over that channel. And that's exactly what it is. Here's what happened. They had a network on there, and they threw them off and gave it to us. Don't believe anything else. That's exactly what happened. Everyone else is lying through their teeth about it. And I tell it like it is. We took it over because we're badass and you're not. And that's final. And if you don't like it, call me up. Let me know where you want to meet, and I'll beat your ass. How's that sound? Okay, so when the thing that I liked about it, Carver High, is that it's real simple. I'm already on everywhere. I don't have a problem with that. I love being on everywhere with Sports Grid, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, all of it. Let's stop with all the hiding and secrets of how many different networks I'm on. Let's just get it out there in the open. We're on all of them, right? So the fact that, I'm on all these networks and I'm not on in New York bothers me. It bothers me. So to hear that we finally got a channel that'll put us on here in New York and everywhere in the Southern Hemisphere. Just so you know, here's a little news flash for you. I worked there for 8 years. When you're on that thing, you can hear it in the Caribbean, laying naked on a beach at Orient Beach in St. Martin, in the the Inward Islands of the West Indies. You're literally so far south. You're in, basically Satan's bowel movement. That's how far south you are, right? So you're literally, there's only one thing further down under, and it's Australia, right? So you go to the Caribbean, to the furthest tips of the Caribbean, you're down south so far, you wonder why you get sunburned. So here's the deal. The fact that you can lay on a beach in the Caribbean and hear Sirius is all I need to know that it's badass, right? So you can hear it everywhere. And then you can hear it all over North America. You can hear it all over the Southern Hemisphere. You can hear it everywhere. But the only thing I cared about was just being on here, being on in New York where I live. I can't imagine doing a show for the last 9 years and no one could ever hear me. People would ask me, they'd go, well, where's your show on? I'm like, just don't even ask. It got to the point where I was just like, don't even ask. I don't even do a show anymore. What do? I sell weed. I coach high school basketball. I don't do radio and TV anymore. That's basically what it came down to. It was so embarrassing for me. And so to get it back is just, it's sex for me. It's just the greatest thing ever for me, because I'm finally going to be on where I matter and where, you know, people can hear me, that, you know, literally everyone everywhere can hear me except where I live. Can you imagine? But people are constantly saying, hey, Pharrell, I never hear your show. I'm like, oh, Jesus, don't ask. Don't even ask. But now I tell everyone, people I don't even know, I tell them, channel 204 on Sirius, January 7th. It's sex.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Anyway, I'm going to bring Ricardo on here in a second. Carver High, just your reaction to hearing the Howard clip this morning.
No, that was really awesome. Howard gave you a nice pop on his show this morning, mentioning Marianne from Brooklyn, mentioning that you and Sports Grid are going to be back on Sirius starting January 7th. Howard sounds like he misses you, actually, Scotty. He's like, you know, Scotty, you know, yeah, you remember Scotty? I miss him. You know, that's how it sounded in Howard's voice when he was talking about
right.
you.
Listen, I love Howard and always will. I look up to him. I think the world of him. I love him, Beth, everybody. I liked everyone there. It was the greatest thing ever. But like, you know, I said, I was right. I knew they were going to change it and I wasn't going to be a part of it. So I got an opportunity to do something else equally impressive and a good job, a good gig. And I took it and it is what it is. But I've always missed it there. I've always, frankly, regretted it. That I didn't stay and you know, just change channels and do something else there cool because it's such a cool place. And I loved it there and everything about it. It was just the coolest gig ever, coolest place I've ever worked. Hands down, not even close. You can't even compare it to anything. And so for me to get back on there, it means a lot to me. I don't know about anybody else at Sports Grid. I think they'll figure it out once they get on there how cool it is. But I don't think they know about it like I do. Like, cause I was there and I experienced it and I was a part of it from the beginning. And so, it means a lot that Sports Grid's going to be on there for me. And, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be pretty cool. And then now everyone can find us without any, problem in terms of, for me, locally, you know, just locally. This is just a local selfish thing, Carver High. It's like, can you imagine like Carver High's mom and dad and wife can't even hear him? And he's 20 minutes down the road doing a show in New York City and no one can hear him because the morons I work for are too stupid to put me on the air when I get 10 times the ratings as the clowns they put on. Jesus, it drove me nuts. I wanted to kill people over it. I mean, I was crazy. You can ask Carver High. He knows I'm crazy. Like, I'm nuts. They had to hold me back with chains. I wanted to beat so many people's asses there. It wasn't even funny. Anyway. Anything else bad you want me to talk about tonight, or have I covered
it? No, we do have Rick.
I know we have Rick. Rick and I have been on the phone tonight at great length. He knows.
With Rick?
Yes. I had a conversation with Rick earlier. He already knows how painful I am. He already knows how angry I am. He already knows what it's like to spend more than a day with me in solitary confinement. So he knows that I'm capable of cutting off 3 or 4 minutes of his segment to talk about myself as usual. Right?
Of course.
That would be the cue for you, Rick, to start talking right there at that point.
No, I'm just so disgusted at this whole thing that I was going to sit this one out, but it's too late. I can't do that. You know, from the Jets today to this now, it's like I got my own problems. Okay, you know, if I want therapy, I'll do it myself. Thanks very much.
Let me ask you one question. When you were with me at Howard, when you were on the Howard Stern channels with me. You cannot deny the fun that you had in my studio with us and the crazy things that took place that you have never experienced in radio or television ever before or since. You have never done that.
I will tell you this. The stuff that went on in your studio, I've never seen, as you said, before or since. And you were a perfect match made in heaven. The only thing is you went evolved and continued to evolve and look where you are now. So it's all good, and I didn't hear what Howard said about you today, but I'm sure it was well-deserved.
Well, he just said he missed me, and he liked me, and thought the world of me, and thought I was a really cool dude, and everyone there was yelling, Pharrell, and Robin, and
Fred. Oh, was that all?
They were
it?
All,
That's all it is?
Oh, okay, good. Pretty much that, like, I'm a badass and chicks dig me and all the chicks want to sleep with me, stuff like that.
All right, that's enough.
So anyway.
Are you sure? Have you had enough? Is that enough for the night?
No. So the last thing I wanted to say about it is, are you excited to go back on there with us, when we start up January?
Oh, yeah.
You know how big that is.
Sirius is the next logical evolution of where you need to be. And, one of the problems with computers these days with us old people is you don't know exactly how to find you. And now, what is it, 204? Is that the station?
Yeah, 204.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. I mean, how simple is that? And it's the right time because the college football and the NBA and the NFL is heating up. So it's perfect. Great spot on the dial. It's, by the way, it's right by that comedy section, so the real estate is pretty good up there.
Well, listen, I think that you are a huge part of what we do, and you know how big it is, and what we can do there. 24/7, 365, Sports Grid Radio Network on Sirius is going to be cool. Now, this does not take away, I've tried to be explicit when I say this, this does not change the fact that we are equally as impressive in a distribution status with terrestrial. We're on Mightier 1090 in all of Southern California, San Diego. We're on Sportsnet. We're on Sports Byline. We're everywhere. And so we're on TVs everywhere, OTTs everywhere. It's gigantic. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's exploded. And what we did on Sirius was that's a full-on takeover. It was nothing more than a takeover is what it was. So people can understand. Take over. We went in and we were bigger, badder, better. So they went, you know what? You're out. You're in. You're bigger, badder, better. And you got Pharrell. Boom. Game over. You got Morenci. Boom. Game over. And they said, goodbye, shoe fly, and bring in the heavyweights. That's what happened. And you know it, Haro. And then you're going to take advantage of it. We need your legions of professor maniacs. They're like Hulkamaniacs. The professor, the Haro maniacs, the Haro big head fanatics. We need them to start following us back. Your boy Steve in Bayside, Queens. We need to have them all back and follow you on the radio.
I'm hoping that he's resting somewhere. Don't get him involved again, okay? I got to re-electrify the fence around my house.
You got to hope he's in a casket. So anyway,
I don't even know, man. I don't even want to think about it. But that's the price of massive distribution is people come out of the woodwork, and there you go.
Right.
So,
would it bother
by the way, do we care, or is it too early in the season that Duke had like a 13-point lead against Michigan State, and then they lose going away? Does that matter?
Can we save the sports talk for the next segment? Can we just focus?
Oh yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, listen,
you want to continue to talk about Steve from Bayside? Is that what you'd like to do?
No, I want to ask you a question. If you lived you live next door to Ricky Fowler, so Rick is actually the guy on the riding lawnmower when Ricky's looking off with his death stare into the future, into like focusing on his next shot, his drive or whatever, a 2-iron off the tee, and he's looking through his neighbor on the riding mower. Then the wife comes out and waves hi to Ricky, and he ignores her too, and the husband's like, don't even bother. He's focused, laser focused. That's Rick Haro on the riding lawnmower. So let me ask you, if you were living in that filthy rich neighborhood and that mansion you live in, and you were on the radio everywhere but in Melbourne, but in Jupiter, but in, your West Palm, if everywhere else you were on, everywhere, but not on in West Palm and Miami, and no one knew you were on, no one ever heard of you, and no one ever listened to you ever where you live, would that not bother you?
Yeah, a bit frustrating, but luckily, you don't have to deal with that anymore. I certainly get your frustration because you and I continue to have side conversations, and that's just being human. I mean, you like to have people listen to your show, and for the rest of the week, people talk about hearing you, and you can't do that if people don't know where you are. I get
it. That's right. Thank you. That's all I want to know. So, just so you know, my 8 years there was basically it was prison. I was doing time in San Quentin because no one could ever hear me. Can you know how embarrassing to be on Howard for 8 years? And then every person would come up to me. I have millions of fans, and they all said the same thing to me. Whatever happened to your radio show? I was like, oh my God, it was the worst. I saw a shrink over it. I had to go see a shrink because I was like, I had to stop defending the fact that I was working at this crappy network that no one listened to. It was that. That's exactly.
I disagree with you. I don't think your shrink time is limited to the fact that there were certain people that didn't hear you on the radio. Okay, so that's just my random thought. If you really want me to explain it to you, I'd be glad to. But I don't think people want to hear it.
Stop, because you're going to places that are just going to get you in all kinds of trouble. So let me ask you this question. So Duke tonight, I wanted to tweet out at halftime, I think Coach K needs to have like two-a-days, because obviously what they've been doing since camp opened up is not practicing shooting, driving, passing, or defense, because that was the worst Duke team I've seen in 15 years tonight.
Yeah, it was step back to the three-point line, step back even further, step back further again, and then miss. I know they have three McDonald's All-Americans, and we're used to it. And frankly, as a Dukie, naming my dog after that team, I'm not that excited about them, because the whole one-and-done thing, you know, my kid, big Duke fans, but does it matter if Vernon Carey gets a half a year and then he leaves and nobody knows who he is and there's a whole bunch of other guys following? I sound like old school and I shouldn't be. But if you're going to bring three new All-Americans in, you got to make sure that they play humble, and they didn't play discipline tonight.
Listen, I thought in Portuguese they played like crap, and all I know is I have never seen a Duke team in 15 years get manhandled and driven through and stepped on. I mean, Michigan State was dunking in their faces. They must have had 15 posterized dunks, and, I mean, every shot they took was right at the rim. I mean, they literally just drove right past them and went straight to the rack, and they were doing windmill dunks and everything else. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. When we come back, and I got to tell you, I was stunned at how bad Duke looked. I mean, get back to the drawing board, Coach K. And you know what they did again to me? They showed his wife sitting in the crowd again. I mean, when is the last time they don't spend 5 minutes talking about his wife in the crowd? I mean, it is the most painful thing ever. What do I give a rat's ass about her? Here's the deal. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's happening to the NHL season. Carver, I may have been right. Wow, I got to tell you, Carver Eyes got me under a tremendous strain. Listen, I'll try to figure this thing out with the audio clip. I can't figure it out. I'm not that smart, SMRT. I don't know how to send it. I know how to do just about everything, and this is something I've clearly not been caught up to speed on how to do.
I'll figure it out for you. We'll get it done.
You're a lot brighter than me. Anyway, really quick, I wanted to tell you about something, what I'm doing Saturday night, what everyone should be doing Saturday night. If you have plans, change them, because Spence Garcia is Saturday night on Fox PBC pay-per-view. Call your cable operator and order the welterweight championship of the world. It's going to be unbelievable as the truth. Errol Spence Jr. takes on two division champ Danny Swift Garcia, the finest from Philadelphia. Former lightweight champ. I've only seen him at 36-2 lose twice to Thurman and to Porter. He's beat everyone else. Your boy Swift, 21 knockouts in those 38 fights. But how about Spence? 26-0 with 21 knockouts. The 2012 Olympian from Dallas has not fought since he crashed his car. The Lambo doing about $105 in Dallas. Broke bones in his face, his jaw, you name it. He's getting back in the ring with his belts to take on Danny Garcia and his loudmouth father. Speaking of loudmouths, I'm one. Anyway, Danny Garcia is a tough mother forever. He can throw down. He can definitely throw that left hook. He's no joke. He throws bombs. He's got a tough chin. It doesn't get any better than Errol Spence and Danny Garcia. This Saturday night, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on pay-per-view. Order the fight. It's also got a nice undercard with Sebastian the Towering Inferno, Fandora, Jorge El Demonio Cota, Josecito, the Riverside Rocky Lopez fighting, and many more. Chia Santana, Julio Ceja, and Eduardo Ramirez. Great fights Saturday night from Arlington at Jerry's World on Fox pay-per-view. All right, there you go. Now I have to get back to Rick Carr. He's very frustrated with me this evening. Rick, talk to me about, this is one thing I said today on Coast to Coast that I wanted you to talk about. Talk to me about what's, and just so you know, Carver High has been spitting this for a while, that the NHL season is in peril because the two sides can't agree on if the sun is out or if it's partly cloudy. So what is the latest on the NHL trying to start their season January 1st? Will they be able to get that to come to fruition?
Yeah, I think they will, because both sides know how to make a deal. They've done it before. They'll do it again, but they're not there yet. And the people that I've talked to over the last couple of days, who are, you know, pretty high up, say that we understand the path to a deal, but it's December 2nd. So, you know, camp's got to start, and you've got to do logistics and all of those kind of things. It's not just protocol, it's economics. You got to decide what the revenue split is. We think we do, and we understand what it is. And frankly, the whole idea of playing less than a full season means you got to make some contractual accommodations as well. And we're not sure exactly how it gets resolved, but we do understand that Gary Bettman and Don Fehr have made deals before. They've also let them go to the last minute before. So I think it'll happen. It's just not going to happen overnight.
So, Carver High, what are you hearing about the deal? Anything changed since 12 days ago when I last talked to you about how you felt that they had a problem?
No, I still think that they have an issue, like Rick is saying. And January 1st, I mean, you could forget that. Like Rick just said, it's December 2nd. I mean, they got to have at least 3 or 4 weeks of camp, play a couple of preseason games. They're not going to start January 1st. I think optimistics is like the last week of January, first week of February right now. It seems like they're still very far apart. And we've said this a billion times. They don't have the TV money that these other leagues have. They need people in these arenas. They need gate. They need concessions. The NHL lives off of it. And they don't have the huge money like the NBA and the NFL do with TV. Right, Rick?
Yeah, but the problem, of course, with that is that a lot of that is not in the NHL's control. It's in the virus's control, and we have no idea what's going to happen with games outside of a bubble. They had two bubbles, remember, in Toronto and Calgary this last year, Edmonton. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is one of those things where the TV money may be the only thing they've got relative to their full set of revenues. And if you divide the TV revenue, it's a pretty easy understanding based on the splits in the contract. But what happens if fans come in? What happens if they don't? Who takes the risks if the fans don't come in? It's not as easy as in other sports. Although, like I said, they both have the opportunity to make a deal in the next couple of weeks. It would be unfortunate, kind of like what baseball did, where you're in mid-June, you haven't finished your deal. Everybody assumes you're going to start July 4th, and you don't start until July 25th, and that's 3 weeks after. This may be the same thing, and if people realize that hockey is pushed back not because of COVID, but because of economics and negotiation, then you start losing some goodwill.
So let me ask you, what is the deal with all these coaches now? I know you wrote about it, dressing down. I saw Patino coaching Iona last night in his sweats, and you see Izzo tonight in his sweats, and they're all doing it. Is that the wave of the future? No more suits and ties?
Yeah, Coach K decided today that he wouldn't coach at all. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that, man, because, you know, he wrote the foreword in my book, and that's mean just because they didn't play well. I thought we left that in the first segment. So they decided that because it's not business as usual, they wouldn't dress because there were empty fans, no fans at games. Patino said, why am I wearing a suit if there are no fans to watch it? And, Jay Wright says, we squat, we run, we bend. We should be doing it in sweats, not suits. Except James Naismith, remember the guy that invented the peach basket and the basketball game, wore a wool suit and a vest, who was famous for that. Hockey coaches, they wear suits because they're cold. They're on the ice. Football coaches, they don't. But remember Dick Nolan and some of the old-time coaches did. So different strokes for different sports, but you'll see a very different basketball look on the sidelines this year.
Yeah, I had to wear a suit when I called games in the NHL, and I thought it was ridiculous because I was doing radio. I was like, no one can see me.
Wait, time out. The Thrashers made you wear a suit when you were calling? You made that up.
No, I did not make it up. I had to wear a suit every day, and that was it. And I even had to wear a blazer on the, I think on the plane and bus. I had to always have a sport coat on. Like it was silly.
I digress. The thought of you in a suit is
are you
funny
kidding?
And
seen
concerning
me?
To
have
me.
Have you seen me on, I sit and do coast to coast with you every week for the last 10 months. You haven't seen me in a blazer every single G damn time I do it. I have 15 blazers in my closet because of this job. I never wore, you know, I wear basketball clothes everywhere, but on Sports Grid, I wear a blazer every day since the jump.
I know, but maybe Carver High can tell you that's not a suit. You realize the difference between a blazer and a suit?
I know exactly what a blazer is, winky face. I know what a sport coat is and what a suit is.
Wow. We're getting testy tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean,
that's all right. All right, I'll start over.
Are you listening to this guy, Carver High, trying to break me down on suits and blazers and sport coats? And I mean, and then Mafia, didn't I buy a suit for his wedding, too? Like, I got that suit in here,
oh,
too.
Oh, all right, well, that's different. I didn't know you wore a suit at his wedding, so my bad. All right, next. What do you want to talk about?
So what is the deal with home workouts, like the booming industry of sports fitness workout companies and people, you know, doing home gyms, because all these gyms are going under and all these gyms that aren't going under are closing because of COVID and there's nowhere to work out and everybody's getting fat and depressed and becoming alcoholics and junkies.
All right, you want a stock tip? When things close down, that's the time to buy Strava, who just gained $110 million in new funding. It's time to buy Peloton. Strava, for example, 70 million members in 195 countries, a long line of companies with this stay-at-home stuff. When travel and other restrictions are lifted, go buy movie stocks, go buy theater stocks, go buy restaurant stocks. So you have a choice of what to do. Here are the tips to make money. But the bottom line is today and through Christmas and probably through January or February, Peloton, Strava, all the big workout at home stuff is the new rage. And it's good because it's money for the sports business.
Hey, have you ever seen anything like people trying to get those PlayStation 5s?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier today, right? So Black Friday has some advantages of people kind of lining up in front of stores for special stuff, and the Microsoft Xbox Series X, the Sony PlayStation 5, everybody wants one of those this year, and that's the classic. And I don't know how you bid against somebody else if Amazon is your vendor and you order online. I don't get it, because you order online and it says we don't have it, and then what do? You throw the phone against the wall until they have it? I don't get it.
So what is the deal with this Litton Entertainment jumping into the streaming game with Explore, which is interesting because they're doing it on all the OTTs that we do Sports Grid on, Samsung TV Plus, Vizio Smartcast, Roku, Plex, Zumo, all of our partners they're getting in bed with.
Well, it's 2,500 hours of content across travel, lifestyle, animals, natural science, tech, and obviously sports. And so what they're doing, launching the first quarter of 2021, the current lineup includes a series of actors, actresses, some other people who are interesting in their own right, Kevin Frazier, Entertainment Tonight, the Zoo Guy, Jack Hanna. But now they're going to bring more sports collections into it, and it's streaming along with this Explore, which is their brand. But remember, streaming is the big deal. It increased more than anything else in any part of the media over the last 2 years.
Wow, there you go. And what is WWE doing with UNICEF?
Yeah, well, you know, it is interesting because during the holiday, you got to celebrate some of the holiday stuff. And UNICEF USA, now in its third year, it's about empowering women, solving real-world problems. They created UNICEF Kid Power. And the typical WWE stars will distribute about 100,000 nutritional packs all over the world on behalf of UNICEF. And the WWE, with their significant brand power, and by the way, the chief brand officer, Stephanie McMahon, obviously one of the kids of the McMahon family, are saying, let's use the athletes to kind of help with UNICEF and otherwise. It's amazing to see what WWF does with their brand. You see guys doing commercials, you see some other stuff, raising money for charity. Good for them.
So real quickly, Carver High, I know I'm out of time here, right? The Dolphins.
You got 45 seconds, according to Carver High. I'll be your producer. I'll count you down.
Will they make the playoffs, and will Miami kick Duke's ass?
Yeah, I don't even think they're. Oh, you mean basketball? Or I think Miami's playing. Have they scheduled the Duke game instead? The last game I heard about was the Wake Forest cancellation.
No, and then Georgia Duke Tech Saturday. They're playing Duke. They rescheduled.
Well, good
Duke
for us. I didn't realize that. Well, of course they will. They got to. I mean, why wouldn't they? Duke is not playing very well this year, and the real key is: does De'Aaron King stay for another year? I hope so.
You know, the basketball team played as bad as the football team tonight for Duke. They should all get together and have a picnic. Rick, great stuff. Yeah. Always a pleasure on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on the Bench. Have a great week. We'll see you again next week.
See you next week, my friend. Talk to you soon.
There he is, Rick Harrow, giving me sport code advice tonight on the Bench. For all on the Bench, so I'm trying to figure out this thing with Carver High, and I'm not smart enough to figure it out. So what happened? What did she send me that I'm unable to open or send you? Like, it's unbelievable. I can listen to it, the clip, but I can't send it.
It's just a video file. So we just have to figure out how to, you should be able to save that to your phone, actually. We're going to get a way for you to save that to your phone, and then you can text it.
So I'll save it to my phone, and then I'll text it to you, and then it'll work?
Yes, it should work that way. That, I think, is going to be our desired way to get that.
You're a lot smarter than me with that technology stuff. You know, I get a little befuddled trying to get all high tech and everything with you.
I know you do.
When for the audience, when the show crashes or we have a problem technically, where, you know, we have technical difficulties, things of this nature, you know, where there's like a on-air TV or radio problem, just so you know, like if I'm on my own in the studio at home doing the show and it crashes and there's no one here at all except my family and the dog, I cuss and throw things and get just raging mad. Like Bob Knight mad, Tom Izzo mad, Frank Martin mad. I mean, I get just, you have no idea how mad I get. Like, I'm like cussing, throwing bombs. I mean, just left and right, just the worst language you've ever heard. And just absolutely just livid. I'm just flaming mad and I'm screaming and throwing things and rebooting routers. And the whole time I'm doing it, I'm cussing. And just so you know, nothing ever gets accomplished. I never fix it. I never can. My anger never proceeds to happiness. I'm going to see how mad I can get and fix this, because it never gets fixed when I'm mad. It never, ever gets rectified when I'm mad. So now I'm trying to send this thing. I don't know how to do it. I'm getting angry. So I'm not going to get mad, so as to try to figure out if Carver High can find a way for me to get it done and send it to the appropriate channels.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.